يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ.
O men, eat of the lawful and pure things in the earth, and follow not in the footsteps of Satan. For surely he is your open enemy, and follow not in the footsteps of Satan. The demand made here is that they should violate all those taboos in matters of food and drink which have their basis in superstitious beliefs or irrational usages.
إنما يأمركم بالسوء والفحشاء وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون.
He only commands you to evil and indecency, and to attribute to Allah the things concerning which you have no knowledge, and to attribute to Allah the things concerning which you have no knowledge. The notion that all superstitious customs and taboos are God-given religious teachings is an example of satanic deception, pure and simple, since there is no evidence whatsoever to suggest that they are from God.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ.
And when they are told, follow what Allah has revealed, they say, no, we shall follow what we found our forefathers practicing. What? Even if their forefathers lacked understanding and right guidance, they say, no, we shall follow what we found our forefathers practicing. The only possible argument and justification for these taboos was that they had been sanctified by the practice of their forefathers, from whom they had allegedly come down generation after generation. Fickle-minded as they were, they deemed this argument to be sufficiently persuasive.
وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي يَنْعِقُ بِمَا لَا يَسْمَعُ إِلَّا دُعَاءً وَنِدَاءً صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ.
Those who have refused to follow the way of Allah resemble cattle. When the shepherd calls them, they hear nothing except shouting and crying. They are deaf, dumb, and blind, and so they understand nothing. When the shepherd calls them, they hear nothing except shouting and crying. This parable has two aspects. On the one hand, it suggests that these people are like herds of irrational animals, dumb cattle that always follow their herdsmen, moving on as they hear their calls without understanding what they mean. Thus, these people follow their leaders even though they do not grasp where it is they're being led to. On the other hand, it also suggests that when the truth is preached to them, they show such insensitivity to it that one may as well be addressing animals who merely comprehend sounds but are incapable of understanding their meaning. The expression lends itself to both interpretations.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ.
Believers, eat of the pure things wherewith we have provided you for sustenance, and give thanks to Allah if it is Him that you serve. Believers, eat of the pure things we have provided you for sustenance, and give thanks to Allah. The believers are told that if by having believed they have committed themselves to following the law of God as they claim, then they should abandon all taboos and prohibitions imposed by the pundits and priests, by the rabbis and church fathers, by the monks and recluses, and by their own forefathers. Although they were required to abstain from whatever had been prohibited by God, they ought to feel no compunction with regard to consuming all that He had permitted. This has also been alluded to in the saying of the Prophet reported in a tradition in the following words. Whoever prays in our manner, turn towards our Qibla in prayer, and eats the flesh of our slaughtered animals, that person is Muslim. This means that in spite of praying and facing towards the Qibla, a person is not fully assimilated into Islam as long as he maintains the pre-Islamic taboos in matters of eating and drinking and holds on to the fetters of superstition forged by the victims of ignorance. A person's adherence to these taboos is indicative of the fact that the poison of ignorance continues to flow in his veins.
إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم.
He has made unlawful to you only carrion and blood and the flesh of swine, and that over which there has been pronounced the name of someone other than Allah. There shall be no sin upon him who is constrained to eat them, even though he neither covets them nor exceeds the indispensable need. Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate. And that over which there has been pronounced the name of someone other than Allah. This applies to the flesh of an animal slaughtered in the name of anything and anyone other than God, as well as to the food prepared as an offering to someone other than God. God alone is the master of everything, of the animal whose flesh we consume, as well as of every other kind of food. And it is He who has mercifully provided us with them. Hence, if it is appropriate to pronounce any name as an expression of gratitude, of consecration, it can only be the name of God. To use anyone else's name means that we believe that there is some other being either instead of or in addition to God which deserves to be acknowledged as our Lord and benefactor. Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate. This verse grants permission to use prohibited things with three stipulations. First, one must not be in a state of extreme compulsion, for example, being gravely ill or being so hungry and thirsty that one's very life is in danger, and a prohibited thing is all that is available to save one's life. Second, the person concerned should have no inclination to violate the law of God. Third, in consuming the prohibited thing, one should not exceed the limits of bare necessity. If a few bites or a few drops are enough to save one's life, one ought not to go beyond the absolute minimum.
إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزل الله من الكتاب ويشترون به ثمنا قليلا أولئك ما يأكلون في بطونهم إلا النار ولا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم.
Those who conceal anything of the book sent down by Allah and sell it away for a trifling gain are merely filling their bellies with fire. Allah will neither address them on the day of resurrection, nor shall He pronounce them pure. A painful chastisement lies in store for them, are merely filling their bellies with fire. This means that the blame for the growth of whole new codes consisting of superstitions, perverted customs, and unjustifiable taboos lay squarely on the shoulders of those religious scholars who had knowledge of the scriptures but failed to transmit their knowledge to the common people. Moreover, later, when erroneous practices began to spread among them, they remained mute spectators of this drama. Indeed, some of them kept willfully silent about these matters, thinking that their interests would be better served if the scripture remained a sealed book and its injunctions were kept beyond the access of the common people. Nor shall He pronounce them pure. This is a refutation of the false claims made by their religious leaders and a clarification of the misconceptions regarding their positions and privileges which these leaders had been spreading among the common people. They spared no efforts to give the impression that they were sacred beings, and that anyone who attached himself to them would necessarily earn God's forgiveness through their intercession. Here, God is telling them that He takes no notice of people who are unworthy to intercede for themselves, let alone able to intercede for others.
أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى والعذاب بالمغفرة فما أصبرهم على النار.
They are the ones who brought error in exchange for true guidance and chastisement in exchange for forgiveness. How patient they are in enduring the fire.
ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب لفي شقاق بعيد.
This is so because Allah set down the book with the truth, but those who disagreed concerning the book veered far away from the truth.